It's time to check in. We're out where things are going on. We're on live radio remote on the scene where things are happening.
Yes, thank you so much. Things are happening here in Person County at Piedmont Community College. So many things they have going on all throughout the year. Many different areas we're going to be talking about this afternoon. And we hope you stick with us because we've got a lot of great information for you. And I'd like to pass the mic over to my friend Gene White, who is going to steer us in the right direction. Absolutely. And introduce our guest. Gene, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Gene White, Director of Marketing and Communications, also Public Information Officer. I'm joined here with Dr. Lee. You are the sixth president at Piedmont Community College. You've been here about 3 months.
A little over 3 months.
And 25 years community college experience. Yeah. You know, in dog years, how many is that? Like 170?
Yeah, sometimes it feels like that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got a doctoral in education leadership. You know, tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey coming through, you know, as an instructor, just what led you to become a president at Piedmont Community College.
I started out as a student at Coastal Carolina Community College, so I had that kind of a background. Then I had an opportunity to, you know, I was working in the industry at the time in computer programming, and my boss came in one day and was like, hey, would you like to serve on an advisory committee for local community college? And at that time, I was in Greensboro, and that was at Guilford Tech Community College. I served on the advisory committee for their IT programs for about a year, and I learned the community college way real fast. If you do anything good, they're going to ask you to do more.
Absolutely.
And they asked me to then be an adjunct instructor. I was not married at the time, had a lot less gray hair, and I was ready to tackle the world. So my Saturday mornings were filled with teaching computer classes on the side. And I fell in love with it immediately. The first time I saw that light bulb moment come on for a student, I just fell in love, and it was a calling. It was a blessing. It was one of those things that I knew that I was like, this is what I want to do.
And that launched your career in higher education.
It did. That was within 6 months, I became a full-time faculty.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't say your wife, Jennifer, is a department chair, department head at Wake Tech Community College. She's also in higher education.
She's also a North Carolina Community College first-generation graduate as well, same as me.
And you know, we recently celebrated those first-gen that first gen week, you know, celebrating those first generation students. And, you know, we learned that you are a first generation student.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, rumor is you traded the tobacco field for the classroom. Is that correct?
I did. I stepped my game up a little bit. I grew up in tobacco fields and topping sucker and working on a harvester, all those kind of things. That was my family business, was out of my family. And I understand what it's like to get into the short rows and how that means the day's about to end.
Right.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate not having dew slap me in the face early in the morning as the sun comes up and all the sticky hands and that
heat and humidity.
So
just think about that first generation experience, you know, being the first, you know, how does that help you kind of relate with students, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, you got questions that you're afraid to ask because you don't know who to ask. There's no template, if you want to call it that. I know that, you know, you have an opportunity to change a family tree, and that's a lot of pressure on someone.
Absolutely.
Even understanding, you know, the words like syllabus, you know, is financial aid and all these things, and what does that mean? Trying to learn that and look that information up just so I had an understanding of what it was. But also just, you know, from a personal standpoint, you're sitting out in your car in the parking lot, and I was that student. I sat out there for 10 minutes debating on, was I smart enough? Did I have enough money to go?
Right.
Could I make this work? Getting over those hurdles just to get into the doors, that was a big thing for me, and knowing what was on the line.
You know, and for some people, myself included, you know, I had an individual. Some people have a moment. Like in my situation, I had a director, an instructor at Danville Community College that, you know, I was one credit away from graduating. He called me and said, I'm teaching that class this summer. Was there a moment or an instructor or an individual that just kind of like
absolutely
said, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to keep going.
The department chair for computers at Coastal Carolina Community College, her name's Javon Leonard, and I used to call her Mama Leonard because that's what she was to me, a second mom. I was working second shift at the time, driving a forklift at mowing faucets, loading pallets on the back of 18-wheelers. And I was like, I was doing that while I was going back to college, and I didn't have the money for enough books for full-time at the time, and I was talking to her, and she was my faculty advisor, and she was also the department chair over IT, and she said, you know, I got a desk copy of a book. If you promise me that you'll take this class, And when you're done, just give me the book back. And she said, just promise me you'll take the class. I think you're going to like it. Right. And it was an intro to programming class. And that's what I ended up majoring in. That changed my life, that somebody gave me that opportunity. I didn't know what a desk copy was.
And did you, you probably didn't necessarily even know at the moment. But looking back, you can identify that person, that moment.
She saw something in me. I don't know what it was. I'm still trying to figure it out. But she saw something in me that believed in me. And I think our faculty do that a lot. Our students and our staff here at the college, they see something in the students. And it's that one little thing, that one person that believes in you can push you through.
It certainly does. Well, kind of switching topics a little bit, get away from Dr. Leavitt, more like what you've seen in the first, you know, I say 100 days, but, you know, maybe more like a million, I don't know. But, you know, kind of, you know, it's some things you've seen, you know, in your first few weeks, months here at the college.
That's so easy. Just the overwhelming pride that our community has in this college, the support that we get everywhere I go, from industry partners to local events, and personality, for example, people genuinely believe in this college. They believe in what it means for the region. We're the backbone of the community, and we're a catalyst for economic development in our area. And the community celebrates how vital we are to the region. They give back to us because they believe that strongly in us.
Absolutely.
And that level of support that I've seen in our service area is the biggest wow that I've seen up to this point.
Awesome. Are there any initiatives or do you have a vision you'd like to share? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know.
Month three.
I mean, I know we have South Campus. We have an opportunity out there. There's all kinds of things going on. Anything specific?
Expanding our workforce programs. Those skilled trades are really big. It's South Campus, expanding what we have there. You're getting that 501 crawl up as far as population goes and people coming up to the area in Person County. Strengthening our university transfer agreements. We've just announced an agreement that we have with NC State. We're doing another one with another two-year school for 911 telecommunications program that we'll be starting. And just removing those financial barriers for our students, making it more affordable to go to college through things like our PACER Promise program. These efforts are going to open more doors for our students and help our community grow. And I've reminded all of our employees here at the college of two key things that we're always going to keep in mind, and they're always front and center for us, and that is to break down barriers for all of our students, number one, and then number two, provide opportunities that would never exist without this college.
Right.
And those are our two stakeholders.
Because at the end of the day, it's about our students, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's 100% about our students. Well, you know, we are in the Thanksgiving season.
Right.
And, you know, we're about a week away from Turkey Day. I know I love that day. I'm sure everybody does. But, you know, are there any traditions in the Lee household that you could share?
Yeah, we typically host Thanksgiving at our house. And this is the first, you know, just moving here and getting settled in. We're gonna continue that tradition here in Person County. And we do that. We have a lot of food. A lot of family and plenty of football to go around. We're a big sports house as well. And so we keep it simple. We keep it full of gratitude about all we have, knowing that not everybody's as fortunate as us. So we're just truly blessed. And I can't wait to eat, take that nice late to mid-afternoon nap while we're in the middle of watching some lazy football game. And that's what we'll be doing.
And then we'll be looking forward to Christmas break, right?
Absolutely. Can't wait. But I can't wait. It's going to be good.
Well, awesome, Dr. Lee. You know, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I mean, again, I'll open the floor real quick. Is there anything? No other words? Words of wisdom?
I'm out of words of wisdom.
You're
the person with all the questions.
That's awesome.
I appreciate everything that we've got going on here at the college. We've got wonderful people. I always kind of jokingly say we got great bones here at this college.
Absolutely.
We do. And our students are always going to be first and paramount for us, and as we continue to support the community here.
And we have, you know, registration just opened recently, about a week ago, so we're registration for spring and summer.
Absolutely.
And of course, folks can visit the website.
Yeah,
PiedmontCC.edu.
We got
information.
We got a holiday semester coming up, so if anybody wants to take a quick class,
that's right. Winter session. Yeah, we'll be talking about winter session a little bit later.
That's right.
A lot of exciting things going on.
A lot of good things. Our enrollment's just busting at the seams. We're breaking records.
That's something we didn't talk about. I don't know if you want to touch on that real quick. Some of the historic enrollment numbers. I mean, just
double digits. Double digits every new academic year. You know, it's 12-14% a year or two last year. Percentage or two up.
Right.
We're still at double digits in historic numbers, and we're going to continue that growth.
Awesome. Dr. Lee, I appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you
very much. All right.
Okay. Dr. Kevin Lee, President, Piedmont Community College, thank you so much. We're going to send it back to Adam for a little music break, and we'll come back with some more guests and get more great information. Piedmont Community College.
WRXO AM 1430 and WKRX FM 96.7, Roxboro, North Carolina. Now it's time for WKRX to go live on the scene, where things are happening.
Director for the foundation, operations and stewardship. She's joined by Torian, a student ambassador. And, you know, we just want to shine some light on what the foundation is and what happens in our student ambassador program. So, Tammy, take it away. Can you just tell us a little bit about the foundation?
Sure. So the foundation exists to support our students, our faculty, and our staff. We've been around since 1978, and I've been with the foundation for 5 years now. This is my, I think, fifth or sixth role at the college, and by far the most meaningful.
And we just brought on a new director.
New associate, executive director, Jane Harris, started about 2 or 3 months ago. She's doing fabulous.
And she's celebrating an anniversary, I believe.
Yes, that's why I'm here in Chief
Rock. That's right. which congratulations to her on the anniversary, but you are here in her stead, so we appreciate that.
Glad to be here.
So, When you think about the foundation, you know, there's always opportunities for our students. What are some specifics that you might want to share, like PACER, Promise, things like that?
Yeah, so we have over $2 million endowment that funds most of our scholarships. And we also do have the PACER Promise program, thanks to a donation and recurring gift from the Lonnie and Carol Poole Family Foundation. So that particular scholarship program will fully fund a student, take care of all tuition, fees, books, any materials they need for their programs. So they do have to live in Purcell or Caswell County. That's the only stipulation.
Right.
There's a couple of other things, but that's the main ones.
So I know you all just had an exciting golf tournament. You know, another year we had to push it back a little bit because of weather.
We did.
Earlier in the year, but... You know, can you just talk a little bit about that? You know, some of the fundraising that happened out there and how those funds are used going forward.
Yeah, so the Golf Classic basically helps us fund our different programs that we have for our faculty, staff, and students. This year's tournament has raised, as far as revenues, we're still working out the kinks and letting the dust settle on expenses and that kind of thing. But we have raised almost $46,000.
Wow.
This year. So it has been our best year yet
so far
for the Golf Classic.
That's awesome.
It's our 35th annual one. So that's pretty impressive.
No, that's amazing.
Raised that much money.
We're excited when we hear those figures. That's an amazing thing to have happen. So, you know, thinking about, you know, fundraising and donations and things like that, are there any, like, upcoming campaigns that you'd like to share?
Yeah, we normally do a year-end campaign. We reach out to those who are our regular givers and send something out in the mail and, you know, encourage them to give again if they can.
If someone wanted to give today, how could they do that?
Oh, sure. They could go to our website. It's www.piedmontcc.edu/foundation. Our mailing address is listed there. There's a link to give online if they want to do that.
And they can, of course, contact you directly if they need to.
If they want to do something over the phone, a lot of people don't trust links online, that sort of thing.
Right.
That's totally understandable. But, yeah, I'm more than happy to take something over the phone if they feel more comfortable doing that way.
So I want to kind of circle back to, you know, what the foundation does. And one thing that's part of the foundation is our student ambassador program. Could you talk a little bit about our student ambassador?
Yeah. Our student ambassador program is funded by the Jacqueline Hall Moore Endowment. And each year we look for up to 3 students that display very good leadership abilities, excellent communication skills. They can nominate themselves. They can be nominated by a faculty or staff member. And they go through an interview process and they get selected. And then
when does that process start? Is it so we're physical? Our physical year is 25-26. Would the next cycle be 26-27?
Right.
And when kind of would that start?
That'll be sometime probably late spring. We'll send out information about that so people can nominate people for that.
So they are nominated?
Yes.
Okay.
They can self-nominate too if they want to.
They can self-nominate.
Yeah.
And so I want to bring Tori into the conversation. So you're one of our student ambassadors.
Yes.
And, you know, just kind of tell us about your experience. You know, how did you learn about the program, you know, the process of becoming student ambassador? Could you share some of your thoughts there?
Absolutely. I'll just start out by saying that when I initially came to PCC, Dr. Woods, who's the program director, encouraged us all to get involved. So I knew I didn't just want to be a student, but I wanted
to
be
a practical nursing student.
Yeah, practical nurse student, 28 days to go.
Yeah, getting ready to graduate. Yeah.
Thank you. So I knew I wanted to be more than just a student. So when I saw the email notification about student ambassadorship, I knew that was a great opportunity for me. So I applied, I interviewed, and I was selected.
Awesome. Has there been an experience, would you say there's been a more rewarding experience from being a student ambassador, or one moment you recall in particular?
I won't say one moment in particular, but the most exciting part of being a student ambassador for me is the network. I'm very privileged to be on some of the same committees and even sitting in the same meetings as people from our very own college president, Dr. Lee, who was just in, to community business leaders and executives. And I'm always eager to soak up what they have to pour out.
Right.
On the flip side of that, whether I'm on campus here talking to early college students or even over at Person High School meeting the seniors and juniors there, I'm always happy to reflect what PCC has given me onto the next generation of Pacers and even student ambassadors.
You know, and throwing it back to Tammy, you know, we talked about, how they can become a student ambassador. What are some of the rewards of being a student ambassador?
Well, they get to help out with college events like the golf classes.
Yeah.
They're a public face on campus. They do get a scholarship
Yes, they do get a scholarship. Is that a set dollar amount? Is that
$1,000 per semester.
$1,000 per semester, so $2,000 per fiscal or college calendar year. Right. Okay, awesome. Wow.
Yep.
So, Tori.
Yes.
We're in that Thanksgiving season.
Yes.
So, could you share just something that you're thankful for when it comes to PCC, or what does PCC mean to you?
Simply put, PCC means to me community and family. As mentioned before, I am in a practical nursing program, and I was unsuccessful in a previous program. And at the time, my father was sick, and I didn't know he was dying. And one of his nurses was a graduate of PCC, so she encouraged me to apply. So I did. I was accepted into the nursing program. And from my very first lecture, all I could think was welcome home.
Right.
I always say I've never felt more cared about, not only as a student, but as a person. And I'm excited just to give back a portion of what PCC has given to me.
And so I think, you know, as we talked with Dr. Lee, there's always that moment or person or just an opportunity where you just, you know, the light bulb kind of comes on and you're, you know, and you may not realize it in the moment. When you look back and reflect, you're like, wow, I'm glad that person shared that information or steered me in that right direction. It sounds like you had that same type of opportunity.
Yes, I encountered so many PCC nurses. I mean,
there are a lot out there.
But yeah, absolutely. And I work already at Duke Hospital in another capacity. And every time I see that turquoise scrub top and black pants, I'm like, hey, Pacer.
That's right. Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tammy, I'll just, again, is there anything else foundation related? You know, anything we need to know about coming up? I know we're all excited for Thanksgiving, and I know we're excited. You know, some of us, staff, faculty, we're all excited about, you know, the upcoming Christmas season, you know, getting that nice long break. But Tammy, again, I'll throw it to you. Is there anything?
I'll just throw it out there. Our board is made up of community, business, and industrial leaders. We're always looking for new folks on our board. So if you want to make a difference in the lives of folks. And
how can they reach you? How can they reach you directly? Like, what's your email address?
It's Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y dot Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N at PiedmontCC.edu.
Perfect.
Yeah,
awesome.
Shoot me an email. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both for sharing your information. Tori, for sharing your story. I know just in that brief moment we had, it's so inspirational to hear
Thank you.
I want to share my story. I want to share my story so bad, but I'll wait. Maybe one day I'll get to share my story.
We love those success stories.
That's right.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back here. We're live this afternoon. Piedmont Community College, Person County Campus.
It's a happening day, and KRX is happening live on location. Today, we're where the action is.
And we're back live this afternoon, bringing you lots of great information from Piedmont Community College on the Person County campus. And for our next guest introduction, I'll pass it back over to Gene White, Director of Marketing and Communications. Gene, who have we got with us now?
David, I understand this person may be kin to you, Elisa Montgomery, Dean of Health and Public Services. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Claim it? All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we affectionately refer to him as CD1, but his full name is Chris Davis. He is our Director of Information Technology. But I want to kick it off with Elisa, because I know we've got an exciting new winter session to talk about. But I know we've got some enrollees in the courses already, but you're going to just let everybody know exactly what that means. What is a winter session? What are we doing there?
So our winter session classes are designed for students who want to take a class in a very short, concise format. These courses are going to be about 4 weeks long. They will run from December 8th through January the 2nd. And we're hoping to gain interest from students who are four-year university students and might want to take a class to get ahead over the holiday break.
So parents, guardians, folks out there listening right now, you know,
yes,
you've got a four-year student out there that wants to catch up on a class or get ahead, you know, this is a great opportunity, correct?
Yes. While they're home on break, they can take a class and get credit, transfer it back to their university and get credit for it. We're also targeting our own students who might want to take a class in just a very short time and knock one out while they're on break.
And this isn't unique, though. There are other colleges that do this, but this will be the first time at Piedmont Community College we've had this abbreviated, what we call winter session.
Yes. Yeah. Right. This will be the first time we've offered that, but as you said, multiple other colleges also do this and have done it successfully. So we're excited.
What's the registration? So we're currently registering for those classes. And by the way, spring and summer is underway, so we've got that registration going. What's the latest someone, they start December 8th. What's the latest someone could get into one of these classes?
So they start December 8th. I would say to best facilitate processes, it would probably be best to register by December 1st. We could take them as late as that Friday the 5th. But
and if they're not a student, they need to apply to the college.
Correct.
Right.
So if they're not a student, they would need to apply to the college as a special credit student to be able to take those classes.
What does that mean, special credit student?
It's a student who's not seeking a degree with us,
but
just wants to take a class or two and then maybe transfer them somewhere else.
What are the classes we're offering?
So English 111, which is writing and inquiry.
Okay.
Econ 251, which is principles of microeconomics.
I'm pretty sure Chris needs that class, right? You're one credit away from a degree also, right?
I'll take it. We'll take
it. Okay. I can get you enrolled.
Right. I appreciate that.
We're offering Psychology 150, which is introduction.
No, that's the one you need, Psychology. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A lot going on up there. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So Introduction to Psychology and then Humanities 115, which is Critical Thinking.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, one thing about they have to apply.
Yes.
Are there any financial, you know, considerations or opportunities, you know, financial aid, things like that?
They would need to check with our financial aid office to see if financial aid would cover the class.
Okay.
If they are a special transfer student, special credit student, they might have to apply for financial aid and go through that whole process with our college, since they may be getting financial aid elsewhere.
Right.
So, our financial aid office can best answer those questions.
We'll add financial aid a little bit later on the
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, just thinking about winter session, you know, registration being open, you know, what are some programs that maybe we don't know about that maybe you'd like to share?
OMI. So I have most of the health and public safety programs. I have medical assisting. Is a field that's very much in demand. If you go on Duke or UNC's website, they both have about 300 job openings for medical assistants. So a place where you could come and get your coursework done and then get a job, have no doubt.
Right.
That would be a good one to look at.
And so for new or prospective students, we want them to go to piedmontcc.edu/apply. And then we have our courses listed on piedmontcc.edu/courses.
Yes.
And so winter session, we do have a webpage there that has more information, has contact information, and that is piedmontcc.edu/winter session.
Yes.
Any other contacts that you'd like to share in terms of registration, winter session?
Our student services office is doing most of the registration. So if a prospective student wants to reach out to our student services office, then they would be happy to help them with the application process.
Awesome.
And the registration process.
Now, I want to pivot a little bit. I know there's a new 911 telecommunications and operations degree coming. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So if you're not aware, the demand for 911 dispatchers is great. We need qualified people to go to work in this area. We all know how vital it is to have somebody who's calm and knowledgeable answer the phone if you have an emergency situation and you're calling 911. So we need to get these people trained and out there working. There is a nationwide shortage of 911 dispatchers. So this new option that we're offering is a 1+1 degree in partnership with Richmond Community College. Students would take 47 of the required 65 credit hours with us, and then they would transfer to Richmond for the final 18. And those hours are all online, except for one course, which is a work-based learning course where students actually will be placed in a local 911 center to get hands-on experience as a dispatcher. And so everything can be done locally. They don't have to travel to Richmond Community College for anything. So
that's a good, good point to make. There's no travel necessarily involved. That's, that's awesome. That's such an important key to, you know, EMS communications. Just having that, that's a vital role that we have to fill. So I'm glad we're going to be offering that real soon. That's awesome. That's awesome.
We're excited to do that.
Chris, I haven't forgotten about you.
I'm touched.
So we're going to, again, just kind of shift gears a little bit, talk a little bit about cybersecurity. Is there anything that you could share that's new in the world of cybersecurity? As we were looking at a suspicious email that Aletha had that she certainly shared with our IT department, just kind of shared some of the new things going on in cybersecurity.
Everything is new in cybersecurity. You don't know, technology changes like every 15 minutes.
Every second, 15 seconds,
So in our cyber bubble, we have a lot going on. We're thankful that the National Science Foundation, or NSF, has awarded us a $475,000 grant to help us boost up our cyber and artificial intelligence.
Coincidentally, the same amount of money you have in the bank account.
I wouldn't say all that now.
Don't get anybody in trouble.
Right. How dare you say that? But no,
we're talking about cybersecurity. I don't care.
But we're really excited to be awarded that amount of money to boost our program. We're right now, there are hundreds of thousands of positions that are open in the world of cyber, and they're looking for qualified, you know, people to go into those positions. So here at Piedmont, we've made a very deliberate effort to offer the courses that the industry is looking for from our students. So we've embedded a lot of industry recognized credentials from CompTIA, from Microsoft, from EC Council to help.
Everything you just said, whatever, man. What's CompTIA? What does that mean?
So CompTIA is one of the largest providers of technology training and education globally.
Oh, okay.
So they certify our students to say that, you know, if you understand hardware, or you understand networking, or you understand cybersecurity, or even just basic, you know, basic computing knowledge. They certify our students to say, hey, you have the skills necessary. You've taken the test, you've checked all the boxes for us, and we can go out and...
How does AI play into that, artificial intelligence?
It's kind of seeking into everything right now. So what a lot of companies are doing, they're using AI bots, they're using AI algorithms to...
It's everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
It's just all of a sudden, just AI is everywhere.
Yeah, they're using it to kind of help drive operations, look at data trends, things of that nature. What we're going to be doing with the NSF grant is actually arming our students with those skills to be able to go out and perform those job duties, to build those algorithms, code and program those chatbots, and understand how AI impacts the world. The other piece of that is we want to make sure we're doing this ethically and doing this in the right way.
Sure.
So we're also making sure that we're embedding those good ethical qualities inside of these courses,
right,
so that we don't, you know, we turn our cyber students into, you know, good Samaritans as opposed to potential cyber villains.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I remember years ago, worked for Carolina Pride Car Wash, actually, and when I worked there, we were installing the payment stations, and they were saying how easily someone could be like off the block and steal your credit card information.
Absolutely.
And I remember the gentleman I worked with at the time, he's like, it's amazing that like you have that skill and that talent and you use it for bad, when to think of what you could do for good.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yep. It's just having that, you know, being able to, you know, be a good coach and be a good instructor and make sure we've been stealing those proper values in our students, because it's not just about the education.
Right.
We're trying to build that value as well.
Now, I'm gonna pivot again. You use the word coach, and I know we've got some exciting things happening in esports on campus. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So down in our Learning Commons area, we have 10 top-end Alienware gaming rigs set up. So right now we are we're offering tournaments in Mortal Kombat. We just recently had a Minecraft build battle, which is really, really awesome. And yeah, our students love Minecraft. We have a couple.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
I have students at home that love Minecraft and, you know, staying in the rooms all day.
Right, absolutely. But what we're looking to do with that is to expand not only on the campus, but expand out into the community and start to offer students opportunities to compete against other colleges and other community members to test their mettle. Let's see where your skills are.
Awesome.
So
you got some new rigs,
We do have new rigs. We originally started with 6. We were able to get 4 more last year. So I'm pretty pumped up about it. So yeah, they're top end. They run smoothly.
So students, if you're out there, folks, prospective students, if you're out there, we do have esports on campus. Yeah. So, you know, if you're thinking about coming to the college, you need to go to piedmontcc.edu/apply. Yeah. That's where we want our new students to go to apply to the college. And, you know, registration, like we say, is open. But before you can register, you need to become a student. So get out there and apply, become a student. And maybe one day you'll meet Chris in person and find out where all that money came in his bank account.
This guy.
All right. Well, thank you so much to our guests, and we will come back in a few more minutes here from Piedmont Community College, Person County campus.
Now it's time for WKRX to go live on the scene, where things are happening.
And we're back live this afternoon from Piedmont Community College, learning all the different departments and areas and opportunities that you have right here in Person County. And Gene White here with us, who's going to introduce our next guests.
Absolutely. Ms. Lisa Palmer, Director of Admissions and Recruitment. I'm just going to start off real quick. And just, we talked a little bit in the last segment about, you know, new students, you know, applying, you know, before you can actually register and start taking classes. You know, could you kind of walk through, you know, what does it take to become a PACER? What does the admissions process look like?
Okay, so we actually have an 8-step process that's located on our webpage that details how to become a PACER. All visitors to the college have an option to take a tour. This is not required as part of admissions, but we do offer that service. Secondly, we want you to be familiar with our program. So you visit our program page, you decide what it is that you're interested in, so you know how
there's
to
an interest form where they can fill all that out.
Definitely. And that goes directly to our admissions department, and we will reply back to you.
So they may know the course or program they're interested in, but they may not, and that's where you all kind of can help steer them a little bit, right?
Correct. So once they've decided what program of study they want to pursue, then we ask that they complete the application for admissions and residency. Again, that's online. You can go to cfnc.org for that information. And again, that's an online process. We also advise all interested persons to review our cost of attendance page, because we want everyone to be familiar with what it costs to attend PCC.
Absolutely.
Another step in the process is submitting transcripts. So we ask for official transcripts. We need your official high school transcript.
And you don't want me just to walk in with something scribbled down that, you know, mm-hmm. I took.
No, we do not. Yeah.
You need some official.
We will allow you to bring a sealed transcript.
Correct.
And it has to be an original in hand. But again, it has to be sealed.
Right.
It's very easy to submit transcripts electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's on our website. High school transcripts are used for placement into English and math. They're also required to receive financial aid. College transcripts, of course, are reviewed to see if you can receive additional credit towards your program of study.
Right.
Once we've received, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just want to point out the website again is piedmontcc.edu/apply.
Yes,
that is correct. For new and prospective students.
That is correct. So once you get those transcripts in, we have your application, your residency is in place. We then want to set you up to talk with an advisor. And with an advisor, you'll look at what classes you can take, what fits your schedule. What's the best course forward for you for this upcoming semester?
Right.
They'll also go over what the fees are, what it costs, your total bill, so that you are aware
right.
of those.
Don't want to get caught off guard or anything, yeah.
Correct.
No surprises.
Correct. The last step in that process is the welcome orientation. Welcome orientation is offered during the spring and the fall. And
that one's coming up in January. So that, you know,
yeah,
there's a welcome orientation coming up.
Yeah. And you'll receive a wealth of information. There's information about clubs, the bookstore, programs, advising. They also try to throw a little food and fun in there to make it a fun event. Yeah.
Well, I'll show up if there's food. I mean, obviously. I mean, yeah. So just thinking about, you know, how do we get out in front? You know, I know we do get to know sessions. Can you kind of explain what a get to know session looks like?
Okay. So a get to know session, we try to partner with folks here on campus. So we may partner with a program, or we may partner with a service like financial aid to bring awareness about the college and what it is that we offer.
You may just start with like welding and say, get in those sessions, you know, everybody come, you know, and you have a date and time, and or maybe in a virtual link.
Virtually. We have been doing both. Mm-hmm. So if possible, we'll do a virtual link to the session and we'll do in-person option.
So are there any upcoming get to know sessions we should know about?
So the next get to know session will be at the Person County Library. That will be December the 10th from 4 to 5 p.m. And we will actually have our math instructor, Dr. Joel Helms, with us. Mm-hmm. And he's going to speak a little bit about the engineering program.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Anything else you want to share from the admissions side? Anything we haven't thought about at this moment? We are registering, but again, in order to register, you have to be a student.
That's correct. If you have any questions or concerns, you can shoot us an email at admissions@piedmontcc.edu.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. Well, next to you is Ms. Tasha Williams, Dean of Enrollment Services. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So, you know, when we're thinking about, you know, becoming a student, we're thinking about challenges, you know, sometimes that financial piece is something that can kind of hold us back or make us, you know, question whether we want to take that next step. You know, could you share some of the opportunities that students have when it comes to financial aid, like the Next NC Scholarship?
Certainly. Within enrollment services, we are, again, trying to remove financial barriers for our students that may prevent them from accessing their educational goals. And we suggest or recommend to all students that apply to the college that they apply for financial aid by completing the FAFSA. That's the free application for federal student aid.
I was going to ask you what the FAFSA, so, you know, we use a lot of these nomenclature. We talk about FAFSA. Can you say it again? What does FAFSA stand for?
Free application for federal student aid. But the FAFSA is the application that is used to award federal, state, and some institutional aid that we have to offer. The Next NC, which is a program here in the state of North Carolina, is designed to help make college affordable for households that earn less than $80,000 a year.
And that's for North Carolina residents.
Yeah, for North Carolina residents. If your families make less than $80,000 a year, you may qualify for at least $3,000 to attend the community college. We are happy to say that we're seeing an increase in our financial aid recipients here at the college, and most of our students are having access to free tuition with a combination of our federal, state, and institutional grants that we have to offer.
Are we doing, I know we have, I don't know if we have any upcoming, I don't recall, but like we call it FAFSA Frenzy, where we have, you know, days where folks, I mean, they can come in any day, but anything like that coming up?
So we do have a few things planned for when we return after the holidays. Right. But during the fall semester, we offer several sessions in the evening with extended hours, even some weekend hours, to support and meet our students and families where they are, to ensure that the FAFSA process is seamless and that they can get the access to the financial aid that they need.
Awesome. You know, when we're thinking about things, you know, there may be folks out there that have work experience, or maybe they have some credits that they earned at another college or something like that. Can you talk about the credit for prior learning?
Yes. So, again, we accept transfer credit into the college. And if you've attended a college before, you can just have your official transcript sent and we will have those evaluated. But Gene, what you're talking about is the credit for prior learning, which is related to experience and knowledge and skills that they've gained outside of the classroom.
Gotcha.
And we can evaluate that work experience or military experience, any certifications received or training, and apply that to their program of study where it's applicable.
Yeah, I understand.
So with that, we're trying to expedite our students to completion. So a combination of transfer credit and credit for prior learning helps students complete their degree sooner and costing them less.
Where they may not even realize that they could get that, you know?
Yes.
It's just an opportunity, you know, to, again, get that degree a little bit sooner than maybe they thought they could.
Yes. And our records team, they're great. If you have
Natasha, we talking about Natasha?
Natasha yeah. Floyd is yeah. our registrar, and Sherry Clayton mm-hmm. is our records technician. Mm-hmm. They're both eager to help you and assist you with your transfer credit as well as your credit for prior learning.
Can that be done by phone? Do they email? Is there they need to walk in here and hand something over? Is there best process?
Yes, so we'll have to have the official transcript from the institution attended. As Ms. Palmer mentioned earlier, they can either bring it in a sealed envelope from the institution, or you can have it sent electronically. And so we will need the official documentation, and the credit for prior learning normally requires a meeting with your advisor to discuss the credit that you want to be considered, and they'll walk you through that process of the documentation to submit.
Anything financial aid related that you'd like to share that we hadn't maybe discussed already?
Again, we're happy that most of our students are attending tuition free with a combination of the Federal Pell Grant, the Next NC Scholarship, and the PACER Promise Program, which is for our students that are in our tech and occupational programs.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. You know, is anything else?
Yes.
One more thing? Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead. You go for
yes.
it.
Yes. In an effort to meet all of our students and families where they are here in Person County, we do provide extended evening services through our evening and weekend success coaches.
Absolutely.
They are here to support, again, students and families that can't get here during our normal operating hours from 8 to 5. They are available Monday through Thursday from 5 to 8 and on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 12. We do extend an invitation for you to come out if you can't meet us during our regular normal operating hours so that our success coaches can work with you. They offer all of the services that we offer in student development, from admissions to advising, financial aid, everything that we do, records. They will be able to provide those services to you.
Awesome.
Outside of our normal hours.
And that's important because not everybody can do the 8 to 5, right?
Yeah,
so
that's correct.
That's why, or the week, you know, or during the week. So that's awesome that we have those hours where folks can come and get that information that maybe they would feel they couldn't otherwise because they can't make it during the 8 to 5 weekday.
And we know this is important for a number of our adult learners.
Adult learners, correct.
Who have priorities such as work and family and may not can get here during the day to provide these extended services.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, speaking of adult learners, Laura, am I going to say, I want to say Piku?
Piku.
Piku. Laura Piku.
Yep, Piku's fine.
Piku? Okay.
Yeah.
A student here at Piedmont Community College, and, you know, I understand you are a work study. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience? How did you learn about becoming a work study?
Yeah, so during registration, there's like a bunch of flyers mm-hmm. in financial aid office. And
flyer, yes.
Yes. They have several different advertising flyers for the work study program.
Okay.
And I was... given a little more in-depth information when I asked my advisor about it, and they referred me to financial aid to actually fill out the application in office.
Nice. Pretty seamless experience there. No issues, no concerns.
Yeah, it was a really quick process. I heard back within like a week or two.
So if you're interested, that might be something other folks may want to think about getting into.
Absolutely. And it's not
just... You have to be a student.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah, and it's not just student development.
Right.
There are work studies throughout
the college. That's right. So just kind of transitioning a little bit to, you know, your current courses that you're taking. I know you're taking online courses, correct?
Yes.
So how does that give you a little bit of flexibility kind of in your school life balance? How does that work for you?
It's great for me. I'm a single parent of a school-age kid with, you know, military obligations, and I have to juggle everything all together. So having online classes lets me decide.
It gives you that flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So just thinking about that, was that one of the reasons you chose to attend PCC? Could you kind of share your story there?
Yes. I've been I've been here before, mm-hmm. right out of high school, and then life happens, went military for 10 years.
It happens to everybody.
It happens to everybody. Yeah. And now I'm back local and my local college and finish up my degree here, and then working with the advisors to transfer to another college to continue my...
What's the next step? Transfer?
Yeah, transferring partly for military, partly for personal to another college that has paralegal programs.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. So again, just thinking through, you know, your experiences here at the college, you know, I've asked all of our students specifically, you know, we're in the Thanksgiving season. What's something, one thing maybe that you're really thankful for here at Piedmont Community College?
Flexibility, I guess, would be like a one-word answer for that.
I thought you were going to say Tasha.
My specific
situation. Or should I say Dean Williams?
Yeah. My specific situation, there's a lot of nuances to it, and the advisors and everybody here on campus has been really understanding and supportive of all my little things. So definitely the flexibility.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your story and just being here today. And thank you to Dean Williams for being here. Ms. Palmer, she had to step away, but we appreciate her being here with us. And so I'm going to kick it back over to David.
All right. And we'll send it back to Adam, and we'll come back in a few minutes. More from Piedmont Community College.
It's time to check in. We're out where things are going on. We're on live radio remote on the scene where things are happening.
We're back at Piedmont Community College on the Person County campus for the second half of our afternoon program, bringing lots of great information from the college and updates. And we'll pass it over to our host, Gene White.
David, I don't know if you want this group. They may get a little unruly here, but we'll try to bring them back down to earth a little bit.
Okay.
I'm joined by Dr. John Russick. He's a counselor and advisor for accessibility services. Did I have that right?
Yes, sir.
And also joining us will be Bernadette Raglan Bailey. I can't say your name.
That's all right. Bernadette Raglan Bailey.
There she is, Director of Advising Quality Enhancement Plan, QEP. And next to her is Ms. Maritza Gonzalez, correct? And she is a Career and College Promise student. So thank you all for being here today, taking a little bit of time out of your busy, busy schedules. And John, I'm going to throw it to you. You know, when we think about accessibility services, what exactly are we talking about?
Good question, because about 40 years ago, the government really invested in looking into what are some of the barriers that were preventing students from being successful. And one of those that was ultimately decided as a civil right was the right for every student to attend a public school or university without the need of barriers such as disability, such as disorder. And what I do essentially is I work with students and I help remove the barriers that those students have to be able to successfully attend a post-secondary institution.
So could that be like a visual learning?
It could be everything.
Auditory.
It's opened up after COVID. Now we're into anxieties and people who have generalized anxiety disorders. And I think one of the great things about my job is that I get to see the tangible results of working with students and working with them to overcome their own limitations and being able to put them on a path for success. And we have a robust community here, including our professors and instructors, who really look at students' success and really judge students based on not necessarily their limitations, but exactly on what they can do. And we have a great community here, and these people reach out, and it's a fantastic opportunity.
So if I were a student out there thinking about attending, you know, and I had what I thought might be an accessibility issue, is that something we talk about before they start?
I have students who come in proverbially with the paperwork already ready to go. I have students that we have conversations as they begin their college journey and recognize this is different than what it's been previously in high schools or other institutions. And then I have people who are at the end, tell me at the end, hey man, this has been great. Can I do this? And then we had a conversation as they want to go off to a four-year college or they want to go off to the workforce, because all those things come together. Yeah, this is the paperwork doesn't start or end. It's a journey. Right. So, yeah, we have a lot of people who come in and recognize their limitations.
Right. And it's one of those things that I think, you know, sometimes those of us who maybe don't have an accessibility issue, we may overlook. Are there ways in which we can address it without them bringing it to us? Can we talk to them in a way?
A lot of what I do is relationship building.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Because a lot of, and I'm not going to, you know, sit up here and say that it's not the case, but people have their own, you know, they don't want to tell people.
That's what I'm getting at.
And it's entirely confidential.
There you go.
What we do is entirely confidential. You can get a hold of me via email and get a hold of me.
What is your email?
It's john.rusick, RUSSICK at Piedmont CC. Or you can also find us through the website under Disability Services. That email comes right to me. You can stop me.
And we're talking about the Piedmont Community site.
But I'm also an advisor, so I also get to see people who come to the door regularly as they were enrolling student. So I get the kind of the pulse of both sides of the conversation, but I'm also accessible to a instructor.
Right.
And the instructor might come to tell a student, hey, go see Dr. Rusick. He's the one you want to talk to.
Right.
And I work with students in every facet, not just traditional like math sciences. I work with kids in gunsmithing, welding,
right.
The CCP students who might be off campus. I touch everything.
Awesome, awesome. Well, speaking of other things that you're involved with, you know, what type of career services do we offer here at PCC?
We
have a career coach.
We do career coach, which is a great reference. We also run our annual career job fair in the spring. March of next year, we're running it again. I also participate in roundtables. I go out to individual businesses. Just kind of listening and
now, how do those businesses get? How does that happen? Do you reach out to them? Do they reach out to you?
Like Tar River, they have an association. There was a job fair we sponsored over at South Campus last month. Tar River was one. We work through the state. Another one. We work through the whole bunch of different connections with the state. But our best resource is our career coach. That is a
tell us about that.
Yeah, it's all encompassing. You can go on. We have jobs. We have the ability to look for a job. We have the ability to search nationwide, not just locally, it's nationwide.
Right.
But you can also build your own resume put it out to prospective employers.
Put yourself out in front of friends. Awesome. Awesome. Well, now I need to pivot over to Miss Bernadette.
Yes. I do want to say that definitely the work that John does with students is truly commendable. And talking about limitations, it lets our students that do need accommodations or accessibility support that they're truly limitless and what they can achieve here at PCC and beyond. So thank you so much, Dr. Rusick, for all you do for our students.
Absolutely. So think about advising. You know, can you talk to us, you know, what is centralized? I've heard the term centralized advising, and you know, what is that? How does that benefit students?
So if for those that are a little bit older, we remember going to advisors and it was within the department of our major.
Right.
So with centralized advising, students are able to meet with professional advisors who serve specific degree programs. We take a holistic approach to advising to help students succeed. So advisors are housed in one location on campus where we can help students with career choices, registration, university transfer, and connect them with many of the academic and personal resources they need to overcome many of the challenges that students face today.
And they can schedule an appointment with an advisor. They can. So we have that on our website.
We can go to under student support, and then we have academic advising. And there's a drop down box in a little green bar for everyone to look at. And if you click on that, you will see all of our academic advisors, and you can book an appointment. And we have appointments available in person, by phone, and online. We aim to please and meet students where they are.
Does someone need to be a student to talk to an advisor?
No, we talk to prospective students all the time and answer a lot of questions. Our overall goal is, yes, we do want you to come to PCC. Yes, we want you here. But we also just want you to be happy and successful. So we link you with tons of resources. So it may not be a curriculum program, which we handle. It may be that we find that a CE program may be best for them.
And,
so,
and that, it's important to have that conversation now. You know, mm-hmm. classes start January 7th for the spring.
Yes.
But you want to start having those conversations, because if you're not a student, you're going to need to apply to the college, become a student, work through that application funnel, if you will.
Exactly.
To get registered for classes, right?
Yes, I'm sure that the other department that spoke before us spoke about the application process and so forth. So once you get through it all that, you really need to speak to an advisor prior to January 7th. So speaking of that, right now we are in the registration period, and we will be registering all the way up until classes start on the 7th, even the day of, for those that are at the last minute. But prior to this, we had open advising.
Correct. There's open advising and right.
And
right.
registration, which confuses some students sometimes. But open advising usually takes place about a month before regular advising opens.
Right.
And this is an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity for you to see all the classes that will be open and available for the next semester, and allows you time to plan and meet with an advisor to go over everything. Then when registration actually happens on the 7th, when it opens up, all you need to do is log into self-service, click
and
a button.
Hit a button and you're good to
yes.
go. There's no
so,
more thinking.
Exactly. So if you've been a student that was like, oh man, I really need this class and there are no seats left, take advantage of open advising,
right.
because then you are the first one or the second one on that day when it opens to get your class. It's a great opportunity, so definitely do that.
So when we think about advising, you know, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to share?
So one thing I want to say is that it is incredibly, incredibly essential for students to utilize their advisors. Research has shown that students who work with academic advisors are more successful. They complete their degree in a timely manner and have a more pleasant college experience overall. So students should see their advisors, because truly we have a great group of advisors here at BPC.
100%
development. Thank
100%.
You, thank you, thank you. And most of all, we love working with students and supporting and working with our community. So come see us.
So the easiest, one of the easiest ways to go straight to the website, piedmontcc.edu/advising, or follow that path on the on the homepage to get the academic advising.
Definitely. Get your appointment, everybody, but you could also walk in, too. We'll take you that
That's
way.
That's right. Everybody, come on down. Real quick, I don't want to leave Ms. Maritza out. So you are a Career and College Promise student, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, when you think about advising, how have your advisors and instructors supported you during your time at PCC?
Yeah, so my advisor at PCC is Ms. Van Allen, and I would say that she is just a great person in general. Like, I've known her since I was in middle school, and ever since I came up to the high school and I expressed my interest in taking classes and getting my associate's degree here at Piedmont, she like guided me right through the process, and she helped me with my goals and determining where I wanted to go after high school.
Because that's important, kind of planning, you know, not just thinking in the moment, but how
exactly.
to extend beyond, right, Ms. Burnett? Right?
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, I would just say that she helped me with my goals and setting up for my classes, advocating for me whenever I needed to. And just in general, like, with life, if I ever need anything, she's there.
She's been there for you.
Yes.
Well, I also understand you're in the Global Distinction Program. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I am.
Can you talk to us a little bit quickly about that experience in that program?
Yeah, so I first got interested in it because I was taking English 111 and English 112 with him, and there was a meeting that week, and he was like, you should come. And I was like, well, I don't really know what Global Distinction is. But he
what
was like...
It?
So basically it's like a club that expands your perspective to different cultures, different parts
sure.
of the world, and
things you may not be
get exactly
otherwise.
Especially like in a small town, I feel like students don't really get to see what's out there,
right.
And so actually
what is a skyscraper
exactly so actually
in September or October, sorry. We took a trip to Philadelphia. And
I've seen the pictures.
Yes, it's like awesome very trip. Beautiful. Yeah. And so it's just an experience that we wouldn't have gotten
right.
otherwise. And for a lot of students, I mean, it's not financially possible to have a trip like that. But with such good club advisors that planned the whole trip and that took us out to like different ethnic restaurants, like it was a very good experience. And I recommend it to
kind of anyone.
Yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of other experiences, I know recently you were on our first generation panel during our first gen week. What advice would you give somebody who's a first generation student?
I would just tell them to not self-doubt themselves. I know that that's pretty common, not only in first generation, but in higher education in general. Right. There's a lot of self-doubt, but also to take advantage of every opportunity, because especially at like a level that is more community-based like Piedmont,
right.
I feel like making connections and getting your name out there is very important and very crucial for your education.
Absolutely.
And so just taking advantage of all of these small opportunities that can one day get you to a bigger right. opportunity, even
expand
a job.
Your opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like to internships and things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, one last thing. We'll throw it back to Bernadette. So we're obviously in our registration period right now. That opened on November 12th. Obviously, classes begin the spring, January 7th.
Yes, sir.
We want folks to get in as soon as possible. Could you give us some like priority dates and deadlines as far as registration and advising?
Right. So if you are interested, if you are a current student, you can definitely register up until the actual day of classes.
Right.
We can get you in. If you are a new student, then you need to apply, and we ask that you give at least 3 days for your application to be processed. Okay. And of course, if you're interested in financial aid, you need to have your high school transcripts on file. There are some pieces that need to be in place to make sure your registration goes through in time. So brand new students, I would say no more than a week before classes start, you need to come see us.
Awesome.
All right. So if it's on your mind, let's have a conversation. It doesn't cost anything to have a conversation.
And all this information will be found on the Piedmont Community College website. PiedmontCC.edu. Go check it out.
Place to be. Check it out. That's right.
Awesome. Thank you all for being on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll have more from Piedmont Community College coming up in just a moment.
Now it's time for WKRX to go live on the scene, where things are happening.
We're back on this Wednesday afternoon, Piedmont Community College, Person County campus. And Gene, we've got some more guests with us.
We sure do. And first off, we want to congratulate Dr. Derek Woods. Recently received his doctorate, correct? Is that
yep,
right? Right
on yeah, PhD. Yep.
And that's right, PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our dean, director of our nursing programs. And we also have a nursing student, Michaela Woods. So we're just going to kind of jump right into it. And Derek, you know, kind of exciting opportunities we have, you know, in our nursing program currently at PCC.
So we're growing leaps and bounds. You know, I got here in January of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened in March of 2020, right?
Right.
COVID.
Yeah. What? It's all happened. I don't remember. What? Wait, I don't know.
And so, you know, when I got here, we had two.
We don't talk about those days anymore.
We had two cohorts of nursing. You know, we had a first year and second year on our Person County campus. Well, now we've mm-hmm. grown to the point to that we've
had
two more cohorts at Caswell, which are
really two.
Yeah, we have awesome. First year and second year there. Which is an evening weekend cohort.
And that really exploded out there.
Oh, it is.
I mean, that's been a huge bump. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for instance, this last admission session, we had about 24 spots to fill, and we had 87 applications.
And so, like, just when you think about the industry in general, there's still a nursing shortage.
Oh, right? Yeah, tremendous. And it's predicted to get worse as people in the industry start to retire.
Retire and age out.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So the need is there. So if you're looking for a job with job security, I highly suggest you get into nursing.
So we're talking about nursing, practical nursing, nursing. Can you kind of talk about the difference between some of the different programs?
Right. So we have those two cohorts here, traditional ADN, which is RN, then we have evening and weekend associate's degree nursing, which is RN. And then This is our second year of adding the practical nursing program. So that is a program that instead of being 2 years, is a 1 year program. They start in January, graduate in December.
That was going to be my next question. So
you're looking for a
practical nursing starts in January.
Correct. It starts in January and ends.
And that's 1 year.
1 year, three semesters. Start in January, graduate in December.
Really?
Start your nursing life in January.
Oh, yeah.
It's very quick. But you know, if you're looking the quickest way to get into the nursing field, that would be the way to do it.
And Michaela, that's what you're in, practical nurse, correct?
Yes, I am. So I'll be graduating December.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm definitely ready.
So just, you know, think about your experience in the practical nursing program, you know, that year, like, you know, how has that experience been? So you started in January this past year,
I did. It's definitely been different as far as, like, for time management and things like that. But overall, it has been a very, very, very great experience. Mm. And I think that comes from just me making sure that I'm ready for it. And also just having that support system to back you up.
And I know recently you were also on the first gen panel. Mm-hmm. If I recall, to correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you talked about there was an experience where you had started a school at one point and then you had to stop and come back. Can you kind of share a little bit of that experience?
I did. So I graduated from high school in 2020. Mm-hmm. So during that COVID, And so straight out of high school, I came here for the ADN program. And I did well my first semester. My second semester didn't go so well. And then I ended up going into medical assistant. So I graduated with that in 2022.
Okay.
And I worked at Roxburgh Family Medicine for about a year, maybe about a year and a half. And went back
to practical nursing.
Yeah, I did.
So what are the plans maybe at the completion of this? What are we thinking about?
Well, we're definitely on the job search.
Okay.
So,
folks, Michaela's looking for a nursing position.
I'll tell you what, whoever gets Michaela will be they will be like hitting the lottery.
Let's do a job interview let's build her up.
I can tell you, like, there had not been a student come through these halls that I would highly recommend as Michaela. And just her resilience of not making it in the ADN program, and she's being very humble. You know,
right.
when she talked about being a practical nursing student, she is the epitome of a practical nursing student. She gives to the through any event, whether it's through our Student Nurses Association, mm-hmm. whether it's through the page where she's always reaching out to other students, providing resources, providing encouragement. And, you know, by far one of the top students in our class. So if there's anybody listening that needs a practical nurse, you better lock her in. Right. Oh, she's going to get so many offers. She'll be able to pick and choose where she goes.
Well, you know, you mentioned something about support, instruction, yeah. You know, instructors, how supportive we are, you know. And Michaela, I don't know, can you speak to some of that, the support you've gotten while you've been in the program?
Oh, yes. So here in our nursing program, like, our instructors, they're here to back us up with whatever we need, whether it's in the classroom, your study materials, even if you're having financial troubles, they are there to support you in any aspect of your life, even, you know, socially. If you're having problems at home, you know, you can always go to someone just to talk to them, especially if you don't have that space anywhere else. Right. You know, here they are definitely like our safe space. You know, we feel comfortable to approach them with any problem or anything going on.
And I'll open this up to both of you, but I'll go start with Michaela. Is there any advice you'd give to someone thinking about getting into practical nursing or any nursing program?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, do your research and make sure that this is the career for you.
Right.
Because
It is work, right?
Yes, and do not go into it for the money. Like, right. You really have to have a true heart for people of all kinds, you know. So definitely making sure that it's for you. Research. If anything, look on the college website. Try to go ahead and knock some of your prerequisites out. Even if you're looking into it in high school, you know, do the dual enrollment. Get some of those prerequisites out the way for free. You know, that's an option for your high school students.
Right.
And, you know, just looking at your financial aid offer. So just looking, trying to get all your resources and ducks in a row before you start nursing, and just know that you're going to have to sacrifice some time.
That's right.
In your schedule, but overall, it's rewarding.
It's rewarding. There's a challenge. There's some challenges in there, but it's a rewarding
place
to get into.
It is. It really is.
Derek, thinking about, if someone's interested, in any of the nursing programs, who do they contact? Where do they look? Are there specifics on the website where they should check out?
Yeah, they could go to the website and they could look at the career, the curriculum that we have laid out, and like I said, the practical nursing is only 3 semesters. And there's a little bit different requirements for that. Like, for instance, for practical nursing, we don't require the TEAS exam. Because we know that that exam is not only cost prohibitive to some people, but it also is a standardized exam that might not be standardized to all populations. So what we tried to do is try to eliminate that to see if we can still maintain the high standard of that program. And we have, you know, our first cohort that graduated our practical nursing, 100% pass rate on NCLEX first try.
Wow.
And so
that's amazing.
So we can clearly say that every practical nursing student that's been in this program has passed the NCLEX.
Right. And so, can you explain what is that?
When Michaela graduates, she has to take basically the national exam to show that she can be a safe entry level practicing nurse.
Okay.
And the same always
tells she can't be hired until she
can be hired, but not just as a practical nurse.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so once she passes that though, but once she passes that, you pass it for life. You never have to take it again.
Okay.
And it is a very big exam, but anybody that graduates will be totally prepared for that exam.
Gotcha.
Is what we all have to go through. I was a student here. I graduated from here in 06 through the same program. Mm-hmm. And so I tell them that there's no easy way to do it. If it was, I would have wrote a book and I would have been on a book tour. But that does, and we have several people.
I think you could still write a book. I think you could.
In all my free time, right?
We don't have free time.
But just for example, for this past admissions period, we had 187 applications. For 48 spots.
Wow.
187.
Is there a waiting list in that?
We do have a waiting list, but I just say that because it's very competitive. And since we don't have the TEAS as an admissions test, I would suggest to people that make sure that they maximize their points by getting the highest possible grades on your general education courses as well. Because literally with that big of demand, we take the top of the top, and I've got one of the top of the top sitting right next to me right now.
I wish I needed to hire a nurse because I would just hire right now. But I'm just a marketing guy. I can't help but hopefully somebody here listening right now is saying, hey, talk this. How did that name come across on that application?
I'll be looking out now.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate both of you for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and
information. Absolutely. PiedmontCC.edu. They can search on the website for nursing. There's obviously under academic programs, you can find the nursing programs there.
And we have specific advisors that are specific to the so they know specifically what students need and how to get them there.
Do you want to give out your email address?
Sure. It's Derrick.Woods. That's Darrick.Woods. WOODS. I always say like a bunch of trees as opposed to one tree at PiedmontCC.edu. And I'm happy to talk to any student because if your goal is to become a nurse, that's what we do. We make really, really good nurses here at Piedmont Community College.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Woods. Thank you, Michaela.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We'll send it back to Adam for a moment and then we'll have some more guests coming up in just a moment from Piedmont Community College.
It's a happening day, and KRX is happening live on location. Today, we're where the action is.
I'd probably get a lot of hot water if I didn't have you all
Thank you for remembering us.
So we wanted to get a couple of very special guests. Emily Buchanan, she's our executive director of the Caswell County campus, and Miss Edna Brown, she is the director of student engagement on our Caswell County campus. Now, we're very specific about that. We say Caswell County campus.
Yes, right. Caswell County campus.
I know there are a lot of great things going on in Caswell County, especially on our Caswell County campus, but Emily, I want to throw it to you real quick. Can you tell us a little bit, what is SEED? I hear it all the time. Truth, folks, I do know what it is. But tell us about SEED. What is SEED?
Sure. So SEED is an acronym, CEAD, and it stands for the Center of Educational and Agricultural Development. So basically, we're building a new campus in the northern part of Caswell County in Pelham. And the project consists of 3 phases. So the first phase we're working on right now includes site work, and it's going to include the construction of a food hub, a barn, an incubator farm plot. The food hub is going to be operated.
Whoa, that's a lot.
That's a whole lot.
Oh, a whole lot.
Yes.
You're doing all that?
We're doing all that.
Whoa. All right.
Yes. And it's going to be operated by our local farmers. There's a group that we've partnered with called Piedmont Progressive Farmers Cooperative, and we're really proud of our partnership with them.
We have a client called 4P Foods that we sell to. So Caswell County goods are actually bought and sold all over the region, not just in Caswell County. So it's something we're very proud of.
Awesome.
But it's our hope that we're going to be able to recruit new students to our agribusiness program. That program's going to be housed out on that campus, and students will have an opportunity to learn best practices farming on site and then sell to that on-site client.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what, you know, when we think about where we're at with that project, with, and again, I'm going to refer to it as seed, but when we think about that project, kind of where are we in, and I know there's several different stages we're going through, kind of where are we in the staging of that facility, of that
center? So, Gene, you know the old saying that big ships turn slowly. I imagine they're built slowly, too. So that's kind of the idea that we're taking with this. It's going to be a big deal.
Right. We're in the first phase. You just list all the things that are happening.
And that's just the first phase. So
I know. That's phase one. And there's 18 phases, right?
There's three. Okay, that's three. Yeah, there's three. It does feel like it. So we are. We have all of our construction documents sitting right now with the State Construction Office, and we're waiting for an official notice to proceed so we can break ground. And we, in the meantime, are working with our foundation to fundraise for phase two. Phase two is going to be a big education building, which will also serve as an ADA compliant emergency shelter for the community.
Okay.
It'll have a welding lab. It'll have a satellite office for the health department in Caswell. And we're going to run our agribusiness department out of there also.
Now, there was also a really fun activity that happened back in, was it August?
It was August, early August.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? What's going on, what that's for?
Sure. Well, among our many partners, we also are partnered with Interfaith Food Shuttle and Second Harvest Food Bank. So while we are waiting for construction to begin, we realized, you know, we have empty land sitting out at the seed site. We decided to put it to good use. Interfaith Food Shuttle came out and helped us and a lot of other volunteers build 30 community food boxes.
30.
It was a lot of work.
I've seen the pictures. I know there. I think Dr. Lee was out there. Yes. I think our interim president, Dr. Boham, was out there.
Yes.
Edna, were you out there?
I was.
Okay.
We had board of trustee members.
Board of trustees and board of trustee members were out there. Yeah.
Students, the young students. Yeah, everyone was there. We built 30 boxes with really good dirt.
Very important.
And so now those boxes are available for community members to come and use to grow healthy foods. And Second Harvest Food Bank came out and they did some workshops with us as well to learn how to grow and what to grow in our area. And they're going to come back out for some more partnerships as we keep that initiative going.
Awesome. Well, Annie, you know, we think about food. You know, we know sometimes food insecurities are issues that our students face. So could you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, not just on the Caswell County campus, but also on Person County campus, the food assistance programs that we have?
So it's very important to be aware of this need, because if you think about it, you can look at how somebody's dressed or what they drive to sort of put a status on stuff, but you can't look at them and tell that they're hungry.
Right. I don't know. Have you seen me when I'm hungry? I don't know. You might be able to tell when I'm hungry.
But we've seen, I think it helps. It's aiding towards retention, too, because you see students formulate together in the canteen or in the food areas, and they're enjoying the foods that we have out for them. There's no stigma to it because it's open to everyone.
Right. So nobody's like, you don't have to necessarily ask or you know, feel obligated belittled. Or something, belittled or something. Yeah.
So we do track how much we put out.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a measure to see how much we have to order and have on campus to keep it going.
Non-perishable items?
Non-perishable items and some things that we have a Forgot Your Lunch program and a program
for what is the Forgot Your Lunch program? How does that work?
So that's more of like snacks.
Okay.
Where you can grab a snack, no questions asked.
Either campus.
Just to fill you up. Yeah, yeah. Just to put something in your stomach so you can maintain and focus in class. So it's a lighter version of the food. But we also have bags where they can actually, just like a little grocery store, use the pantry and take foods home to cook.
Oh, right. Which is important. Again, you know, that's a, you know, learning, you know, it's hard enough, but it's even harder when you have that hunger.
That's right.
It's one thing to be hungry for education. It's another thing to be hungry because you don't have anything to eat.
That's
a tough place to be as a student. And, you know, some of us are fortunate we've never had to be in that position. And then there are those of us, myself included, where, you know, it's where does this change go to? How do I make, you know, a dollar stretch into a week, you know, how do I make that last? So,
and with today's prices,
it's
really hard for anyone in the grocery store to come out with enough.
Right.
So it's a supplemental thing to help the families.
So we're thinking about that. I know we've had some partnerships with, say, Food Lion. You know, could you talk to some of those types of events that we've had?
I can. We have partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank, mm-hmm. where they drove to our campus, set up, and actually distributed to our students and the community. The
community, right.
All right.
And so, do we have any of those coming up?
Maybe after they finish some of the initiatives that they have with the after those storms in the western part of the
state. So maybe sometime early next year, spring. Yeah.
Yes. So we stay in connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Zeta Phi Beta sorority that has been donating like $100 when we're in need of something. And that's community that's on our campus, and they see what the students are doing, and they love the initiative, so they wanted to donate to it. So they've been donating to us.
Again, I'm an insider, so I do see the pictures and stuff, so I know, but it's still exciting to talk about it and see, you know, the excitement of that food being delivered and then being shared. It's just a great thing to see.
And also Red House Church in the past have donated to our students because they heard of the initiative, and they just felt strongly that, hey, they need help with this.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate the donations that came from them. Food Lion Feeds. Food Lion has been an awesome partner.
Right.
They have stocked and donated pet food for both pantries. And I'm talking like 80 cases at a time or more.
Wow.
So our students know that there's a resource where they can come in and get stuff to actually take home and prepare.
Right.
And we're very grateful for them. So, and also some students.
What else you got? You got some?
Yes.
Tell them. What's else on your mind? Tell
them. That's seeing this happen too, and they seeing that they're, you know, we have all ages, right?
Sure.
So some of the older students say, okay, I want to help with this. And sometimes this one student in particular, Mr. Doug Farrell, he'll come and he'll drop money on my desk and he'll say, buy fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those things just keep you motivated.
Was it Pay It Forward, that movie a long time ago? People keep paying
it. It's the Pay It Forward thing. And
people remember. Yeah. They will remember the kindness that was shown to them and give back.
Right. So I take it back and I give him the receipt, and he's like, I don't want that. But the thing is, he want his classmates to have those goods.
Yeah.
And he know that they are the ag students, so they go more towards the healthier foods.
That's awesome. I'm so glad we have these programs for our students to help support them. And again, that's what it all goes back to, right? Our students and supporting them, you know, in their journey.
And so there's a few more partners.
Keep on coming.
So Phi Theta Kappa has partnered with Campus Compact from Elon to do food challenges.
Okay.
And so in this food challenge, they will collect canned goods and ask students if they need to fill out an MVP card. And those challenges may garner up to $10,000 if your campus wins those competitions for the food drives. So we have reaped the benefits of that before.
That's good.
And it keeps giving. So we'll
just make sure you tell the marketing department.
All right. We're really appreciative of those things. And it's just a great thing to have on campus so that students know that they're not being singled out for having a basic need.
Exactly.
Right. And I know, you know, there are a lot of services outside of just the food that we provide for students. And
it is,
you know, and this is campus, you know.
Yeah, we call it the wraparound services.
Correct. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
So, you know, we've also supplied computers. We have a student.
That's what I wanted to get into, some of these other services that aren't, you know, that maybe people don't know. I mean, you see the banners that say free laptop and all that stuff, but I mean, these wraparound services,
Right, because we know that everybody's not starting off at the same point.
Right.
So we try to have some initiatives in place to level the
and we have on our PiedmontCC.edu website a resources for success page where a lot of this information can be found, correct?
Yes, it is. And I can't leave out our PCC Foundation.
Right.
Because they help us with this initiative as well.
Absolutely.
We talked to them earlier. Did you know that?
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
Is anything else out there that you're thinking of?
Just knowing that we are out there to support the students and help them to retain into graduation and even help them in that next step of that career advancement.
And so, you know, just kind of encapsulate all of this and a lot of things we've talked about today, you know, being in that registration season, you know, we still want students, they can come, of course, to campus, on Caswell County campus, to register or, you know, talk to an advisor, correct? Is that accurate?
It is. So we have several modes. They can walk in.
Mm-hmm.
They can book an appointment using our booking service online.
Right.
They can email us, and we'll get back with them through email.
Mm-hmm.
And they can call over the phone.
Right.
So multi-modes to take care of the public.
Just come to the Caswell campus and ask for Edna Brown.
That's right. Lots of great things happening on our Caswell County campus. I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll do a whole segment on Caswell
Let's
County.
We'll
do a whole hour on the Caswell County campus. I think that's what we do next
come
time.
Come on over.
Yep. I appreciate y'all taking out a few minutes of your day to come speak to us and tell us all about the great things over there. And again, I'd be in a lot of trouble if I left out the Caswell County folks.
We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm not hot. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come right back to wrap things up from Piedmont Community College, Person County campus.
Now it's time for WKRX to go live on the scene, where things are happening.
Well, it's been an awesome afternoon here on this Wednesday at Piedmont Community College. Gene White, Director of Marketing and Communications, thank you for lining up all these guests to come through, and we've learned a lot.
You know, it's been fun, and you know, I think we could have used 4 hours. Maybe we do a little different. I don't know. There's just so much to share, and you know. I know people were excited to be guests on the show, and you know, I just kind of wanted to, you know, let everybody know. I'm gonna hold it up. Obviously, they can't see this, but our new Pacer Nation magazine, we're going to be distributing that this week. So that'll have our continuing education courses that are coming up in the spring. Has a lot of great stories and information that we know will resonate with our community. So we certainly want people to pick those up as you see them at the library or across the community, you know, on the counters, you know, pick one up, kind of read through it. You know, we'd love to share our story, and you can find out a lot of good information in that magazine. You know, we are in the middle of summer and spring registration. So come on down, check us out on the website, piedmontcc.edu. You can search on the website. If you go to piedmontcc.edu/apply, if you're a new student or prospective student, you can apply to the college there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great information on that website. I do want to let people know we're excited for the holiday season. Piedmont Community College will be participating in the Caswell County Parade over in Yanceyville on December 6th. I believe it's at 10 a.m. I don't want anybody to hold me to that. Folks over in Caswell, like, hold on. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's at 10 a.m. And then December 13th will be at the Uptown Roxborough Parade. And
yeah.
You know, we had a lot of fun last year at both. And we're going to put a little float together. You know, we're going, you know, I think the theme for the parade in Uptown Roxborough is decades. So we're going to go with a 70s themed float because obviously the college was founded in the 70s. So that's kind of what we're thinking there. So we're, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, I can't wait
to see that.
This is the holiday season. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, you know, so obviously please remember that the college is closed. What's the dates for that? The 28th and 29th, the Thursday and Friday were closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just excited for the season. You know, we've got the Christmas season coming up after that. Just an exciting time. The college is closed for the Christmas holiday from December 22nd to January 1st. So again, if you're thinking about coming to the college, you know, if you need to talk to an advisor, you know, like come to us now, call us, check us out on the internet, you know, at our website, you know, give us a call.
Let's get that website one more time.
PiedmontCC.edu is the Piedmont Community College website. It's got a search function there. You can search for anything, and you'll find it right there on the website. And again, if you're looking to apply as a new student, you need to go to PiedmontCC.edu/apply.
Great. Thank you so much. This college is a gem to the community. We're so proud to be here and proud to have this college.
Can I throw out one more thing? Because, you know, I'm telling you, we could talk for 4 hours. Folks know when they talk to me, I can just talk and talk and talk. But let me just share this real quick. Folks may not know it, but we do have a
app, a mobile app. So if you go on your Android or Apple device and search for Piedmont Community College, you can download the PCC app. There's a lot of great information there. We share news and information through our feed on the app. So I encourage everyone in the community. There is community members are able to download the app. Obviously, students have a little more access. Once you become a student, there's a little bit more information you can access on that app. But it is open to our community. So we encourage anyone and everyone, if they really want to keep in touch and understand a lot of things going on at Piedmont Community College, to download that PCC app. And you'll get a lot of great information there.
Right. Well, thank you, Gene. And thank you to everyone here, Piedmont Community College.